Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Away we go, live on this Wednesday, March 20th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. It is a Wednesday. That means the great Tony Bruno, live from Florida at 8:30. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I've been better.
Uh-oh.
Don't feel
Sound
great.
Good.
Yeah, my head feels like it's 1,000 pounds this morning.
No.
Head cold.
Oh,
hello,
boy.
Gregory.
Hi, buddy. I'm glad you're powering through this. Appreciate that.
DayQuil, organic throat coat herbal tea, throat spray.
Show the viewing audience
all the accessories.
Yeah.
All right, so we got this one right here.
YouTube.com.
I feel like the price is right where I'm showing their prizes.
Throat coat.
You got a little.
Does that work?
Throat spray.
Throat spray. It's good.
The throat coat.
Yep.
Yes, I love it.
Good.
Yeah. I would encourage you to start drinking herbal organic throat coat tea as somebody who powers through 6 hours of broadcast excellence a day.
Yep, I love it. And dandelion tea.
Yes.
Also very good.
Big fan of dandelions until I start sneezing in the spring. I took a Zyrtec as well, so I'm attacking it from every angle.
Uh-oh.
I'm like Joe. I'm from the top down, the bottom up, the middle out, that whole charade that he goes through. There you go. We got a lot of good stuff to get to this morning. A very deep dive, big take this morning on the coronavirus, long COVID, the alleged cover-up of the CDC, and also the data of school closures and how impactful they were now, 4 years later. We'll get to that. Also, SCOTUS does a 180 with Texas at the border, but there's only one problem. Mexico doesn't want their people back. If Abbott apprehends them.
No, you can have them.
You cannot keep them.
Yeah,
keep them.
We're good.
They're
we're
a
good.
Pain in the butt.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll get to that.
Moose out front should have told you.
That's correct. And also, yesterday, Trump's reported, rumored cabinet from top to bottom. Do we like it? We'll get to that. Tony Bruno, the Cutchy, and much, much more. But let's get to the news. 6:03, round number one. The great Don Stenslin.
And good morning, Kale and Company. News live in for the warmest day of the week as we enter into the season of spring in Philadelphia. Yes, U.S. Marshals capturing, arresting that fourth wanted suspect for that shooting at a Philadelphia school bus stop, which was a SEPTA bus stop as well. He was arrested and they caught up with him in Alexandria, Virginia. 17-year-old Asir Boone. A most wanted individual. No word if someone turned him in or helped to turn him in for that $20,000 reward, but he was wanted for attempted murder in that March 6th shooting that we've talked about that injured 8 students in Philadelphia's Burholm section community. Shocked about this, upset about this, had meetings, community meetings last week in which students said they wanted to take back their streets, take back the safety of their schools. Today, we know that the principal of Northeast High School will be speaking out publicly for the first time, holding a news conference. So many of these students were Northeast High School students, and they do believe that this situation, this shooting, was connected to that March 4th shooting that happened on the Monday previous to this shooting. So it was a retaliation type situation. That is based on a phone call that one of the other suspects actually made from prison.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they have that connection. It may have been retaliation.
Yep.
So the one thing I have to ask is how many of the students arrested, the four arrested, how many of those teens were high school students? I don't have that answer for you. If they were actively students, were they dropouts, were they grads? So that's one question. Of course, there will be many questions today. We'll obviously get some answers. The community of Ambler, I'm going to take you there, under a temporary shelter in place last night after that armored truck heist in Philadelphia led police to that quiet suburban neighborhood. If you're familiar with Ambler, which I think you are, pretty quiet. We don't have these kinds of things happening. Shelter in place, obviously, since been lifted. Ambler Borough Police say there is now no danger to the public. All started in Philadelphia, where three people held up that armored truck driver. East Mount Airy is where it started, injuring the driver, taking his firearm. And then later in the day, a tip on possible suspects prompted that huge SWAT response. That was what everybody saw in suburban Ambler. So residents, it was late at night. Many of the residents were already sleeping, school night, work night. And so they were just warned, shelter in place, do not leave your home. So we've got that one. Philadelphia police say a security guard for Loomis armored truck robbed at gunpoint. That one was the one on Stenton Avenue, East Mount Airy. Security officer struck over the head with a weapon. Money and the officer's handgun were taken. But in that one, the security guard is you know, these are not life-threatening injuries, I should say.
Probably the last thing you're expecting as an armed security guard with one of these companies that, you know, three guys are going to come at you also equally armed.
Yeah. And got away with the, so there was another, to your point, layer of it.
Yeah.
Because they got away, not only banged him on the head, beat him up, didn't shoot him, but banged him up.
That's a victory.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that sad that
we'll take that, I guess, right?
That I even say that, like, instinctively, right?
Yeah. Oh,
God. So much more to talk about this morning as, and I'll just say this, we talked yesterday about that huge jackpot, the lottery jackpot, and how in Pennsylvania the systems were down. So there was no winner drawn for the Mega Millions jackpot, now climbing to $977 million after no big winner was drawn last night.
We have to get in on this. What's a ticket? What's a ticket cost?
There's a Odyssey pool.
Is it really?
Yeah. I guess you haven't checked your Odyssey email in a while.
I saw that we're doing a March Madness bracket with the company.
Yeah.
But I didn't know
we were... Did you participate in that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Now, I'm a one bracket, one sheet kind of guy.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah. I'm a one bracket. It's like a country song.
Yeah.
I'm a one bracket guy.
It's a new Luke Combs single.
Yeah. I believe we are doing a pool for Odyssey.
Truth be told, as much as I like to gamble, whether it's like betting on sports or doing March Madness brackets or playing poker... I've never played the lottery once in my life.
I have not either.
I've never played the daily number.
Me neither.
Any combo, any Powerball, no.
I have not either.
Nope. No idea why.
And it's not like they're that expensive.
No.
You get them for a buck or two.
Is that all Powerball costs?
I don't know.
Okay. I would figure Powerball costs a little more than a buck, but...
I'm sure it does. I think I'm going by 1985 numbers.
Greg's playing the daily number. I'm going to play 555.
Two more things. Just a heads up from Radnor Police, because there is a possible rabid fox out on the loose in Radnor. If you see any, especially a nocturnal animal like a fox, and you see that fox daytime, that might be a sick fox.
Well, speaking of foxes, I mean, did you see the video that went viral yesterday in Philadelphia? There's a squirrel up in a tree with a big like pocket knife in his mouth.
That's crazy. He's scared.
He is.
He's, you know.
He's getting ready to board SEPTA. He knows he needs to arm
it's
up.
It's like, my I only have one animal voice, Buddy and the Squirrels.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you got to work on a second animal voice.
I know,
voice.
Definitely.
In all that free time you have, Dawn.
Yeah. And by the way, Flyers win against the Maple Leafs. Sons, Sean Couturier.
Yeah, Coots didn't play.
Oops.
He got scratched and he was healthy.
Look at you dropping the nickname,
Coots.
Hockey insider stalker.
Coots, I'm not going to call Sean Couturier. First of all, Couturier is a great name. Coots sounds like a STD. It's a horrible nickname.
Oh, my God.
4-3. Maybe that's why Coach pulled him. I don't know. No, I'm teasing. Like 4-3 is the win. We want to hit that hard. Hey, enjoy today. Nicest day of the week. Breezy, nearly 60 degrees, 59. Oh, wow. We cool back down tomorrow, so enjoy today. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:10 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning is brought to you by Tommy D's Home Improvement Center. COVID, long COVID, and the CDC's alleged corruption and cover-up. The week of We Told You So continues. Yesterday, the media watchdog company Media Research Center confirmed 41 instances of election interference from big tech with Google dating back to 2008, which covers the last four election cycles over the span of 16 years. Today, the We Told You So pivots to the world of COVID. Now, many of us with a functional brain knew that the school closures during the pandemic in 2020 and in 2021 would impact the development of our children, stunting their academic progress and social and developmental skills. And now we have the data to prove it even further. But just remember, when you dared to speak up about how COVID, in all likelihood, would not harm your young, healthy child, you were deemed a bad person. Because you might kill grandma if your kid brought the virus home from school. You were labeled anti-vax if you felt like your 10-year-old child didn't need the COVID vaccine and all of the subsequent boosters. And the New York Times might have been the biggest culprit in the public shame game. So it's only fitting that just a few days ago, the New York Times released data 4 years later on how detrimental shutdowns and virtual schooling was. In the upshot, a specific section of the New York Times, the headline reads as follows. What the data says about pandemic school closures 4 years later. The subheading reads as the following, quote, the more time students spent in remote instruction, the further they fell behind, and experts say extended closures for schools did little to no help to stop the spread of COVID. Jeez, you think? And you don't need to be an expert to have arrived at that conclusion 3 years ago. I didn't need to see an ounce of data to realize that some children, if not many, would be harmed by the politics of Democrats and the teachers' union. Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers' union, should be fired and also held liable for the harm that she caused millions of children, especially after all of the emails that were sent in private that have since been released to the public that calls her out for the fraud that she is, saying that she's doing everything she can to return students to the classroom while advocating for the opposite in private emails. In my opinion, she perjured herself to the American public and parents across the country. An entire generation of kids that don't get that valuable time and instruction back. And there won't be any repercussions? That's criminal, in my opinion. And as we know, red states with Republican governors were back to the classroom within 6 months in the fall of 2020. But blue states and Democrat governors failed kids at a far more alarming rate, and the data proves that. Now, here's a few tidbits and points from the New York Times report. Average math scores for children in third grade through eighth grade dropped at an increased rate in relation to the amount of time that they were in virtual learning. If you were in virtual schooling for 10% of the 2020-2021 academic years, you ended up 35% of one academic year behind the rest of students. If you were on the extreme end of things, that being in virtual for 90% of the time or more, that 35% jumps to 57% of one academic year behind. Led by researchers at Stanford and Harvard, in districts where students spent most of 2020 and 2021 school year learning remotely, they fell more than half a grade behind in math on average, while in districts that spent most of the year in person, they lost just over a third of a grade. Such losses can be hard to overcome without significant interventions. And these most recent test scores are from spring 2023 that show students overall are still not caught up from their pandemic losses. With larger gaps remaining among students that lost the most ground to begin with, Students in districts that were remote or hybrid the longest, at least 90% of the year, still had almost double the ground to make up compared with students in districts that allowed students back for most of the year. And some of the country's largest poor districts are in democratic learning cities and democratic leaning cities that took a more cautious approach to the virus. Poor areas and Black and Hispanic communities also suffered higher COVID death rates, making many families and teachers in those districts hesitant to return. Perhaps the biggest question that hung over school reopenings was it safe? That was largely unknown in the spring of 2020 when schools first shut down. But several experts, according to the New York Times, said that had changed by the fall of 2020 when there were initial signs that children were less likely to become seriously ill and growing evidence from Europe and parts of the United States that opening schools with safety measures did not lead to significantly more transmission of the virus. Quote, infectious disease leaders have generally agreed that school closures were not an important strategy in stemming the spread of COVID. Quote, I do believe it was the right decision, said Jerry T. Jordan, president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, which resisted returning to school in person over concerns about the availability of vaccines and poor ventilation in school buildings. Philadelphia schools waited to partially reopen until the spring of 2021, a decision Mr. Jordan believes saved lives. Quote, it doesn't matter what is going on in the building and how much people are learning if people are getting the virus and running the potential of dying, he said. Hey, Jerry, you're a fool. So for those in poor communities, in big blue cities, what are you going to do this fall? Are you going to vote Democrat again? Are you going to reelect people that harmed your child's progress? Something to think about just about 7 months out. But moving on. A new study that was just revealed shows that long COVID doesn't actually exist. Researchers in Australia surveyed over 5,000 people after testing positive for COVID, following up with them over the course of a year to see what recurring, long-lasting symptoms they might have had. And surprisingly, these experts found that the long-term effects were no different from those after any viral infection. They also found that there was no significant increase in what was described as functional limitations within a year after getting a viral infection, no matter which one it was. Chief Health Officer John Gerard in Queensland, Australia, said, quote, we found that the rates of ongoing symptoms and functional impairment are indistinguishable from other post-viral illnesses. These findings underscore the importance of comparing post-COVID-19 outcomes with those following other respiratory infections. And of further research into post-viral syndromes, they wrongly imply that there is something unique and exceptional about the longer-term symptoms associated with the virus. This terminology, according to Mr. Gerard, can cause unnecessary fear and, in some cases, hypervigilance and longer symptoms that can impede recovery. Geez, unnecessary fear? Where have we heard that before? And who usually peddles it? But lastly, that said, the biggest concern should be about the CDC and their alleged vaccine cover-up. Here's an exchange between members of the Novel Coronavirus Southwestern Intergovernmental Committee, say that 10 times fast, and Dr. Peter McCullough. Listen and watch part one of this.
I find information like this, you know, inserts for the vaccine. Paper's there, and there's nothing printed on it. I find that very interesting, disheartening, disgusting, and lots of other words. But then it gets better. It just keeps, wait, there's more. It just keeps happening. The CDC redacts every single word of a 148-page study on a myocarditis after COVID vaccination. So I asked research to print the study for me. 148 pages. The entire thing is redacted. What good does a study do if there's nothing there? Then I want to know, wait, what might have been there that they needed to redact it? That's even scarier.
We're witnessing an active cover-up of a colossal consumer product safety debacle that is basically affecting the entire world. Mm-hmm. So in the United States, our CDC, National Institutes of Health, and the FDA are actively involved in a cover-up. And the same is occurring in the UK with the MHRA Europe with European medicine agencies and Australia with the therapeutic goods.
148 pages and 100% redaction. It's probably not something you're going to hear about or read about in mainstream media. Just a hunch. Here's part two of Peter McCullough as he further explains what he is alleging. Listen and watch this.
Something is going on that's very big. Each one of these companies that puts out a product has an obligation to produce 90 days of safety monitoring after their product comes out. It's a regulatory dossier. If somebody has a problem with the new product and they call the company, like Pfizer, Pfizer has to report, write down what happened, and they have to collate that in a report and produce it and make it publicly available. When it came to 90 days with Pfizer, the first vaccine that came out, remember Pfizer was approved December 10th, 2020. Pfizer didn't produce the report. And then people started asking, well, what's happening with your vaccine? And Pfizer would not disclose what happened. And then it went to court. And the lawyer for the FDA stepped in and said they don't want to release Pfizer's dossier for 55 years. 55 years.
Remember, Pfizer cannot be held liable, but can advertise the you-know-what out of their 100% safe and effective shot. Luckily, it would not be 55 years, and we now have the results. Here's the last clip, part three of Dr. McCullough. Listen and watch.
Plaintiff pushed, and finally, slowly, the Pfizer dossier came out. Pfizer recorded 1,223 deaths with their product within 90 days of release. People were calling Pfizer in desperation, watching their family members die after taking the vaccine. Pfizer recorded over 1,200 new adverse events, new problems that Dr. Bowden has talked to you about that we are grappling with the entire time. But the point is, our FDA worked to cover this up. The FDA should be regulating this company. FDA should have been having at least monthly meetings and fully disclosing what was going on with these novel vaccines, which are a genetic transfer technology platform. It's the first time human beings had ever been injected with foreign genetic material in world history. Now they were getting it full on. Two-thirds of the world's population took these.
So, parents, what's your retribution? How do you get some vindication from the years of 2020, 2021, 2022? Well, you get it at the ballot box this November. Vote the Democrats out that stunted your children's growth and the party that touts trust the science, because in a lot of cases, all they did was play the political science game. Don't forget that this fall, and certainly don't let them do it again. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by Tommy D's Home Improvement Center. If you are renovating a kitchen or building one from the ground up, Tommy D's Home Improvement Center is your go-to for quality kitchen cabinets, flooring, and molding at affordable rates. Visit their showroom in Philadelphia or their website at TommyD's.com. You can certainly jump in with your thoughts and reaction, 855-839-1210, on social media at 1210WPHT, and of course in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get thoughts on that and other updates, including the reversing of the course, 180 by the Supreme Court of the United States when it comes to the border and Texas. That's still on the way this morning. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
You know, I'm so happy to welcome in the Anderson Mechanical Corporation to our Talk Radio 1210 family here, led by Carrie and Bill. Great guys. AMC are the people you can trust to keep your home or your business comfortable year-round. With a wealth of experience and a dedication to their field, the professionals at AMC, they really do take pride in properly maintaining and repairing their customers' homes. They are so passionate about putting their customers number one first and delivering just a great experience, which is why they live by what they call the AMC difference. So they're not going to sell anybody anything you don't need. And I love that. Always make sure. Okay, make sure of this, that you ask, if you call any company, hey, does the technician who comes out, does that tech make commission off of anything that they recommend? That's an important question, according to Carrie and Bill, because they don't. They find the best, the most cost-effective solution for each and every customer, and they value your time, so they keep to your schedule. and communicate openly, obviously, with clients. So believe it or not, warm weather, it will be here soon before you know it. And you'll want your air conditioning ready and good to go to keep your home cool this summer. Right now is the time to call my friends at Anderson Mechanical Corporation. Call them today, AMC. Schedule a spring tune-up at an awesome discount. Visit amcontheweb.com. amcontheweb.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Country coming up 7:45. Tony Bruno at 8:30. Also, don't forget this Friday, Radiothon, Travis Mannion Foundation, 13 straight hours, 6 a to 7 p. As I've said on Monday and Tuesday, don't make your credit card payment this month. Skip the mortgage. Send it all to TMF. It's for a good cause. It's all we're asking you to do.
Yeah.
Just fall behind for 1 month. I kid. But anything that you can donate and give would be absolutely fantastic coming up on this Friday, which I believe last year we were in the low 90s, I think 92,000 or yep. so. This year the goal, at least my personal goal, is setting the bar for 100,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can do it. We'll do it.
I think we can.
With the help and the generosity of the listeners.
Yes. All right. So I thought it was interesting yesterday. The New York Times writing these data release points on all the issues that COVID school closures cost our children, most notably in grades 3 through 8. Also, a massive study of 5,000 people in Australia kind of debunking the concept of long COVID. Take it for what it's worth. It's one study. I don't know if that means long COVID's not a thing or if it's just randomly select in certain individuals, but I thought that study was very interesting. And then also a lot of that testimony from Peter McCullough and those allegations about the way the CDC was operating with Pfizer and Big Pharma when it comes to getting the adverse effects and the reactions within the first 3 months of people taking the COVID shot. But I bring a lot of this up to bring this up. Drew Holden, who used to write for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Fox News, has a very interesting thread on Twitter because yesterday was the 4-year anniversary of the debut of the phrase 15 days to slow the spread. It's amazing how...
Oh, happy anniversary, everybody.
Yeah, happy 15 days to stop the spread to you as well, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
May the Lord be with you. Peace be with you.
There's another study that basically says COVID made us all stupider. More stupid.
Yes.
Stupider.
I actually subscribe to that theory. I've looked at the data extensively, Dawn, late at night while I was drinking a whiskey, and I can confirm that's true. But Drew has brought up a lot of the, and if you pull up his Twitter from about 12 hours ago, at DrewHolden360, you can see he's kind of chronicled all of the mainstream media publications and websites from 4 years ago when they started saying 15 days to stop the spread. The Atlantic with a headline 4 years ago. Georgia's experiment in human sacrifice. The state is about to find out how many people need to lose their lives to shore up the economy. That was from The Atlantic. The Washington Post with a headline 4 years ago. States rushing to reopen are likely making a deadly error. Coronavirus models and experts warn. And then lastly, the third one that he has from the New York Times, the virus can be stopped, but only with harsh steps. You know, I think we're just going to continue to see this as years go by and we get more and more data and we look back on how the, quote, so-called experts were just so dead wrong on so many things. Dawn, I remember this in 2020 and 2021 living in Tennessee. I remember these experts getting on TV. Oh, my God, they're going to play college football? They're going to have 90,000 people smushed into a stadium? It's a super spreader event, and the South is going to have all of these unforeseen tragic deaths. And if you look at the data and you go through it from, like, Georgia and Florida and Tennessee and Alabama, they had far less deaths than blue states like Pennsylvania and New York and California. So I wanted to bring this up because I just think when we see all of this data, and I'm lucky enough that my daughters were not impacted school-wise from the standpoint of falling behind, but these kids in grades 3 through 8, I mean, they're still trying to play catch-up 2.5, 3 years later.
Yeah, and here, by the way, you know, UPenn was kind of stifled when they came out early on in the pandemic, and this was the Wharton School of Business, and those researchers came out, gave a model, and they said, this is going to be an economic disaster. And then in the fall of 2020, they released that other study that talked about the COVID pandemic, the impact that it would have on school children and students, that they estimated just from the business standpoint that each, you know, student would lose potential earnings. So they were calculating, you know, you think about, you know, the DeLorean and Back to the Future. If you could go back, take these same kids, not lock them out of schools and all that, and let them go to school, let them follow a more, you know, positive pathway, give them an opportunity. They're saying that on average, this cost the average Philadelphia school, the age child, shut out of schools, an average of $57,000.
It's unbelievable.
So do we have a lawsuit here, all of us, and we were damaged in different ways?
You know, sadly, and I might be off on this assessment, I feel like most people not only have moved on, but they've kind of forgotten about it. They want to put it on the back burner, never relive it, never rethink of it again. And also, you know, I don't know how many people out there actually feel like I feel, where the only way to get kind of payback, so to speak, is when you vote. Because if you were tied, now look, you could sit here and be a Democrat and be on the fence about maybe ditching Biden for Trump because of the economy or crime or the border. But does that fact, does the way the government conducted business in 2021 and 2022, especially after Trump was out of office, does that impact your decision with who you vote for this fall in 2024 in the general? Now, we've obviously had elections since the pandemic. We had the midterms and of the fall of 2022 and the red wave that never materialized. But if your child was set back, I mean, you know, what can you do? I mean, it's not like you can sue Pfizer. You're not going to be able to school a school district. You're not going to be able to say Randy Weingarten should be fired, as much as she should be. She won't be. So I think the only kind of way that you can claim any sort of redemption is with your power to vote. So, and I think the Democrats played it far worse than Republicans did. Two other headlines from this thread that I thought was great. CNN with a headline 4 years ago: "The dangerous morality behind the Open It Up movement." That was from CNN on April 23rd of 2020. And then the last one that I thought stood out: USA Today. This was written April 28th of 2020. "They're playing Russian roulette as states reopen amid coronavirus. Experts warn of risks." So all of the fear-mongering, everything that we mentioned in the big take, those were some of the headlines from the most notorious culprits in mainstream media. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Some temporary good news yesterday, as the Supreme Court of the United States did a 180, and we were going to talk about this yesterday, but we just ran out of time, because yesterday the Supreme Court was banning Texas's ability to enforce SB 4, which allows state police in the Lone Star State to not only arrest illegal aliens, but deport them. Now, yesterday after our show, the Supreme Court does a total reversal where 7 of the 9 justices actually side with Texas over the Biden administration. And now Texas and Greg Abbott will have the ability to arrest and deport illegal immigrants that come across the border and have no right to be here. I think that's a great temper. It's only a temporary injunction, but it's a great victory short term. And I think when we talk about all of these numbers of this invasion and this influx, however temporarily this might be, if it's 5 weeks, 2 months, whatever it might be, this is going to be a good victory, because then you can certainly try to cut down on some of these numbers. Now, of course, the two justices that dissented with the ruling, one was Sotomayor, the other, Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Biden appointee from Harvard. She's the same one who 2 days ago in our big take says, "I'm a little concerned about the First Amendment's ability to be too stringent on the government to censor speech." So she did not agree with this. But it's just a damning day in this country that the Supreme Court of the United States has to be involved with something like protecting its citizens at the border. Why is it that a governor cares more about protecting not only his state, but his country, compared to the current presidential administration? I don't know if this story broke when you were on, Don. I know this came after we were off the air at 10, but this is, I think, at least a temporary victory in what should not be this controversial discussion and debate, right? Like, it should be, hey, What are you as a nation? Are you really a sovereign nation if you don't have border security? If you don't have borders, you're not a sovereign nation. Greg Abbott does a better job with this than Joe Biden.
Yeah, I talked to immigration attorney Christine Flowers to get her reaction to it. I just think, you know, this is a states' rights court. It fascinates me because initially, you know, very conservative justice, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, he's the one who put a pause on the thing until they could all look at it. So that was on Monday.
Yep.
Then yesterday they come out and then they say, okay, take off the pause. We're going to allow this state law to take effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now we have, I think, we have a situation that pits, what are they going to do? DOJ? Is Biden going to his DOJ?
Merrick Garland on somebody?
On these individuals? How does this work? How does it impact relations with Mexico, who doesn't want the folks back?
Funny you say that. I actually have the statement right here from the Mexican government after this ruling. I mean, what does this go to show? And what does this say about Mexico? And also think about this in the Middle East. So Mexico has people that defect from their country, come up through the southern border. They get apprehended by ICE or the Texas state government, and they're about to be deported back. And Mexico says, no, we don't want you. What does this also say in the Middle East with refugees from Gaza, where other Middle Eastern countries are like, no, we don't want Gaza refugees in our country? So what side of people have been on with these two interesting political discussions in the Middle East at the southern border? If you're on the side of the United States and protecting your border, and if you're on the side of Israel, you look like you're probably on the right side of history right now, because nobody wants these people. Why? Because they're probably not good human beings with sinister intentions of terrorism, drugs, the drug cartel, the gangs, human trafficking. But you say that it's like, oh, you don't value humanity. No, I just look at reality. We're not getting choir boys coming over from Mexico, right? So the Mexican government posted this yesterday, and they said, on behalf of the government of Mexico, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs condemns the entry into force of Texas law SB4, which seeks to stop the flow of migrants by criminalizing them and encouraging the separation of families, discrimination, and racial profiling that violate the human rights of the migrant community.
Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was on Fox News yesterday when this broke. You want to hear a little bit of that?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
We want to jump back out for a second here with more on our breaking news on the Supreme Court decision regarding the Texas border law. Sandra?
Yeah, that just in, the Supreme Court has declined to block this Texas law that would allow state law enforcement to arrest people suspected of illegally crossing the border. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is now on the phone with us to react to this news and tell us what it means for the border crisis. Welcome.
Hi, Sandra. Hi, John. Look, I'm catching my breath right now because this is historic. The Supreme Court has ruled that this law, Senate Bill 4, that I wrote with Senator Charles Perry at the end of last year and passed, Governor signed it, that would give Texas the right to arrest those who are here illegally. We can put them in jail or we can send them back. And I was on Fox just yesterday morning, kind of in a lighthearted way. I said, I know the Supreme Court is listening as they get up for court this morning, and we are being invaded by land, by sea, by air. It's drones. It's boats going into Florida. They have been taking drugs and illegal immigrants to Florida for years. Of course, millions have come across the border under Joe Biden. So it sounds like to me, the court, and I haven't read the final ruling yet, but it sounds like the court has made this decision that Texas has the right to defend ourselves against this organized, mobilized, cartel-driven invasion of our country. This is historic today, and I'm thankful for the Supreme Court. A ruling, I believe the ruling was 6-3. Now, this just says it goes into effect while it works its way through the courts. But this is a big statement that we can go into action now and this law can become effective now.
Yeah, because they didn't rule whether or not it's constitutional. So they're hearing arguments today.
Yep.
And the Fifth Circuit Court is going to probably issue another one today. They start hearing the arguments.
Let me give you a stat and a prediction. Under Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star, the state has now spent or allocated more than $11 billion since 2021 to deploy state troopers and National Guardsmen to the border, arrest migrants for trespassing, and erect barriers along the Rio Grande. That's the stat I wanted to give you, the $11 billion. But I'm going to give you a prediction right now. It's not on the 2024 election, but it is on two states impacted by the border and illegal immigration. In 2020, Joe Biden took Arizona by 10,000 votes. In 2020, he took Georgia by 11,000 votes. Arizona, border state, Georgia, Lake and Riley. If the election was held today, I think Trump wins Arizona and Georgia. I think he easily flips those two states with 11,000 or less votes in which Joe Biden took and carried 4 years ago. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back, put a bow on our number one. And speaking of illegal immigrants, did you know that they still have the right to carry a firearm? They are still afforded Second Amendment rights despite coming to this country and being here illegally.
Cool.
A lot of people divided. A lot of Second Amendment absolutists divided on this issue.
Yeah.
We'll explore it as we continue. It's Kale and Company.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, how much I love my new patio doors and all the work the Chapman family team has done in my home. And you know by now, if I needed more windows, doors, siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. You may not think of Chapman right away for siding or stucco remediation, but I tell you, I would only trust the Chapman family team with this important investment in your home. So if you're thinking of updating your current siding or removing that current stucco and then replacing it with siding, I want you to think Chapman and think that beautiful James Hardy plank or vinyl siding. It's going to add value to your home. It's going to be beautiful. Right now is a great time to get ahead of the ball. Get this on the calendar. Yeah, your 2024 siding project this year or whatever you need. These certified Chapman installers are the professionals you want on this job. If you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, shutters, all those hardware choices, give them a call or you can text them. They're listening right now. They're like-minded right here in Chester County in our area. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. You can take a virtual tour at ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. I love to peruse ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Look at all the before and after pictures. That could be your house. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we roll on, it is a Wednesday morning. Tony Bruno coming up at 8:30. Cut sheet in less than an hour, 855-839-1210, the phone number. You can get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. I do want to get to this judge's ruling on illegal immigrants and having their gun rights protected by the Second Amendment. A lot of division in reaction to this. We'll get to that coming up to kick off hour number two after the news. But I wanted to at least pass this along because we have a very short segment here. The FAU national poll has just come out. As we know, we're just coming off of the State of the Union address a little over a week ago. And the apparent Joe Biden shouting and yelling fest did not move the needle. And we're continuing to see some of these polls come out post-State of the Union address. And the nationwide Florida Atlantic University poll was released yesterday and found that it had no help to the president, Joe Biden, as Joe Biden and Donald Trump are still tied at roughly 44%. When the responses were narrowed down to likely voters, Biden fared slightly better, but the contest is still essentially tied within the margin of error. Biden at 46% and Trump at 44%. And that is generally in line with most of the recent national polls. I was getting tweets yesterday from some listeners because I tweeted out about how I think with the border and the Lake and Riley tragedy that Georgia and Arizona are going to go in favor of Trump. And a lot of people are tweeting out the Real Clear polling average that kind of tabulates all of the polls. And you look at a lot of these and Trump is up 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 points. I just want to say this like for the 17,000th time. Let's not get ahead of ourselves with the polls and the polling numbers. We know what happened in the fall of 2022. We know that polls are a snapshot in time and it's a very, very small sample size. So I know people are expecting, you know, a bloodbath come November. And Trump is leading every single swing state pretty much right now. But we'll see if that plays out in real time, in reality. I'm not going to take the bait and fall for that again. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Dawn has some news to kick off hour two. And then we will get to this conversation. Where do you stand? A lot of gun owners in this audience. A lot of people that are very, very pro-Second Amendment. And a judge has come down and ruled that illegal immigrants, despite being here illegally, still have Second Amendment rights. What do we think about that? I'll give you my take on the other side. It's Kale and Company. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from the great people at the Piazza Auto Group. As you recall, just about a month ago, we dropped the debut episode of Kale Pool Karaoke on social media, and we filmed that debut episode inside of the beautiful 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. Now, it features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. But one of the great features, if your wife is asking, honey, I need that third row, I need that third row, maybe you're the dad, you're like, I don't want to do the minivan thing, the Honda Pilot Trail Sport SUV offers third row seating that will come in handy for that growing family. And you can check out all of the options on the Honda Pilot at any of their 5 Piazza Honda locations: Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne. Shop all of their inventory online, piazzaautogroup.com.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.